In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I wonder if you read a few days ago in The Age the news this week about the food sharing incident that shut down the Westgate Bridge during our sixth pandemic lockdown last year. The Food Bank Victoria CEO was describing how there was a day when cars were piled up from the food bank drive-through warehouse back for 3 kilometres to the Westgate Bridge. These were cars holding people in desperate need of food. As he said, people who were hurting, single mums with kids crying from hunger, Afghan war vets, business owners in their shiny SUVs. There were many who were in need. But as he says, the demand has not stopped, and the drive-through has had to continue because of the sharp cost of living spike in the economic fallout from Russia's war with Ukraine. This man is passionate about addressing food disadvantage across our state. God also is passionate about providing hope and material aid to those in need. Well, we heard one parable last week about wealth, bit of a tricky parable last week. And we have another one today that is also not that easy to understand. But what we know is that God desires that all might receive, and that we must be absolutely focused on sharing the resources and wealth that we have. The challenging parable from Jesus today is about wealth and the failure of hospitality. The Pharisees, who have been described as lovers of money by Jesus, have been ridiculing the attitude to wealth that Jesus has been talking about. The characters and setting this week are very different to the ones of last week, however. Today we cannot help but be moved by the tragic circumstances of Lazarus and the rich man in this story. This story with its elements of Jewish rabbinic tales. Lazarus. What a terrible picture of a suffering and helpless man, a man with a desperate, hungry longing to receive even the smallest of scraps, hoping if he is just outside the gate of the rich man that somehow he will be fed. But even the dogs receive more than he does. This marginalised man outside the gate, not noticed, not heard it seems, not thought about, and subjected to the indignity of mongrel dogs licking his sores. Indeed, his crying needs are not understood at all. But there is also a tragedy with the rich man, is there not? He is now cut off, the parable says, after death, from the embrace of God. While Lazarus, after death, is in the embrace of Abraham and in a place of intimacy and honour at the heavenly banquet, the rich man is not there. He was caught out when the crisis of his death came. And yes, he would have been buried in a wealthy coffin with a wonderful ceremony. Doesn't seem that Lazarus was. But the rich man has been caught out, and he finds himself excluded from the hospitality of God. This man is a man of the establishment, a man who cannot hear the cries of the poor, not allowing empathy, perhaps has his gaze on other things, wishing to have a good life in the here and now. Nothing wrong about that, is there? But oblivious to the plight of Lazarus outside. Now, we actually don't know whether Lazarus was particularly virtuous compared to the rich man. It's just that he is poor and neglected, and it's this condition that is the subject, the object of God's action. And we don't know that the rich man is particularly wicked either. It's just that his luxury seemed to totally absorb him, and he didn't notice need that was outside his particular circle. We have heard something in the news this week about blindness, about lack of empathy, about a lack of hospitality. The experiences of some Indigenous footballers and their families at Hawthorn and other clubs have been shocking and distressing to read about. When winning is everything, it appears that there is limited capacity to empathise, to see what is before one. And as we know, there have been tragic consequences. The themes of caring for those in need and hospitality are a very important one for Luke. They run right through Luke's gospel. And he describes the great reversal that comes with the coming of the kingdom in Jesus. Our usual ways of operating in the world are turned upside down, topsy-turvy by God. You probably remember that very early on in the Gospel of Luke, we hear Mary's powerful song before the birth of Jesus, that canticle that we call the Magnificat. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. A complete reversal of fortunes, indeed. And Luke characterises the ministry of Jesus as preaching the good news to the poor. That's how Luke talks about it. And Jesus says that he has been anointed for that very task. So as we read this story today, and about these two men, one rich, one poor, what is our response? If we identify with Lazarus, the parable offers us abundant grace and hope. If we, as people living in the probably the richest nation in the Western world, if we identify with the rich man, as some or most of us probably do, then the parable offers a challenge to all of us indeed. Now, there is another challenge in this parable that is not about that. And this is what I might call the elephant in the room, or perhaps I should say the elephant in the church. And that is the one of Hades, or hell, or the afterlife. It's really a huge topic, along with heaven, of course, and what happens when we die. Huge topics. Far too large for today, but I do want to say something about them, because I think the matter of hell is a concerning issue for some. particularly if we have heard what we might call hellfire and brimstone sermons in other churches at times. Threats of God's judgment and fear of eternal damnation. Of course, they are attempts to motivate by fear. Now, we actually need to be very cautious about relying on this parable for a view of what Jesus or Luke thought about life after death. For there is no one clear picture in the New Testament of hell. It was only after the New Testament was written that more elaborate views were developed for all sorts of reasons. So we cannot be really clear, but there are things we can be really clear about. We can be really clear about the hope that God offers in the midst of whatever circumstances we are in. We can be clear about the compassionate love of God for us. And we can just get some snippets of that in both the end of the Jeremiah reading today and the psalm about God's everlasting wings over us. The end of Jeremiah, it's a strange reading, isn't it? But actually, Jeremiah is doing this, as asked to by God, as the people go into exile in Babylon for many years. So the hope that is given is, there will be land for you to come back to in the midst of your very difficult circumstances. You will be brought back to me. So to finish, I want to read to you wonderful and in some ways slightly humorous words from a 4th century sermon by St. John Chrysostom. This was his Easter sermon, his Paschal homily, and it addresses what has been called in the past the harrowing of hell. Or in the Apostles' Creed, we talk about, not so much, it's a bit different in the Nicene Creed, but when we read the Apostles' Creed, we hear about Jesus descended into hell. And that's what this excerpt is about. Let no one mourn that he has fallen again and again, for forgiveness has risen from the grave. Let no one fear death, for the death of our Saviour has set us free. He has destroyed it by enduring it. He destroyed hell when he descended into it. He put it into an uproar, even as it tasted of his flesh. Hell was in an uproar because it was done away with. It was in an uproar because it is mocked. It was in an uproar for it is destroyed. It is in an uproar for it is annihilated. It is in an uproar for it is now made captive. Hell took a body and discovered God. It took earth and encountered heaven. It took what it saw and was overcome by what it did not see. O death, where is thy sting? O hell, where is thy victory? Christ is risen and the tomb is emptied of its dead, for Christ, having risen from the dead, is become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. To him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen.